Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schankelberg, and Kirk Gray is freshly back from a cruise in the Caribbean. Or is that proper, Kirk? Was it a cruise or
yes,
something else?
Fortunately, my brother has a very nice sailboat, and we had a nice trip around the British Virgin Islands, bouncing between island to island. And it's very difficult here being back and back to reality. Because that is a very heavenly place with just incredible beaches and beautiful turquoise water. So we had a great time. And
Do you run any halt tests while you're there?
No, I could go down and find the GoPro camera that I dropped about a year from now, maybe, and it would be quite a stress test at 46 feet under and see if the waterproof case. How waterproof and how water resistant that case would be if I could ever find it. But
that's a good question. Is because it's got the enclosure is basically a clamshell with a gasket, right?
Correct.
Then there's some buttons that I'm not sure how those are sealed. I'm sure there's some gaskets type things on it. 46 feet adds a bit of pressure to that, so it depends how durable, but. Do you think the salt water or the marine life would attack those seals at all? Would that degrade them?
That's a good question, Fred. I think that it's very likely that the crustacean and material that might build up on it might even actually improve that seal. I'm not sure.
You're going to start a new reef down there? Is that?
That's it. And it'll be buried in that reef. Maybe years from now, somebody will find it. I think that particularly where there's a mooring of million-dollar yachts of 30 or 40, that it would be a great scavenger place because people drop so many things off those boats. Instead of my GoPro, I did find a nice nylon stretch shirt that was the booby prize lying down there.
All right.
So
you're back.
Ready to talk with you about reliability and all those crazy issues we have.
Right. Well, I'm going to use that example of your GoPro. If you would have pulled it back up and the seals had failed. If we thought of that like a halt test, let's say you had previously put it at 5 feet and then 10 feet and so on, you step stressed it in depth and at 46 feet, it comes back and it's failed. One of the questions I know you've heard many, many times is one we talk about on occasion is, so what?
Yeah, you took it past its spec. Now, obviously, with a GoPro, they're aware that it is a camera meant to be taken diving. And for sport diving, about 130 feet is pretty much recommended maximum. In fact, you've got a very short time at 130 feet before you'd need to be concerned about getting nitrogen or getting the bends for staying too long. And you'd have to go through decompression as you came up. So, a normal spec or a reasonable spec for the GoPro, and I don't even know what the specs are. That's, again, like the phones and every consumer product we have, I'm skeptical that many people know the actual specification or remember it from their manual or whatever was marked on the box.
That's right. And much less pay attention to it.
And if you look at GoPro videos, you see that the incredible
severity that they have in their end-use environment, you know, whether it be a motocross motorcycle or somebody jumping out of a plane, they do have the extreme environments.
But let's say, for sake of argument, that and I didn't know that the diving limit was that deep, you know, what people would, for sports diving, would go that deep. I imagine yeah. the vast majority of people are like where you are, the Virgin Islands or the mm-hmm. British Virgin mm-hmm. Islands or Hawaii or wherever, and they're
right.
maybe 20, 30 feet down on a wreck or on some a reef and looking at fish and stuff like that.
Right.
And certain people will go deeper. But let's say right. it's 100 feet that they say this is a typical depth and we want to make sure it works at 100 feet for some duration of time.
Right.
And this is specifically the enclosure of the seals. And you pull up your GoPro after you retrieve it from the British Virgin Islands after you dropped it in there, and it's at 46 feet and it's failed.
Right.
Right. That question of, well, now it's not beyond the spec, but it was only one sample. Come on. we can ignore that you didn't put the seal on correctly or whatever.
Right.
What have it we really learned, and what should we? I mean, we've talked about doing failure analysis, all kinds of stuff, but
right.
What if we have what potential takeaway do we have from seeing a failure at a specific distance?
Well, I mentioned that it's one sample, and we know by inherently there's going to be a distribution of a capability in as the product has variation in manufacturing. That channel that the little gasket seals in may in some places be wider or smaller, you know, in the tolerances that they put into that, and one may be able to go, say that GoPro has a spec of 100 feet depth. That if you are testing one or two samples and you pass that 100 foot, that doesn't mean that in your manufacturing process you could you don't know what margin you have as far as that beyond the 100 feet. So you also could have one fail at 96 just on a basis of some variation in that gasket thickness and the channel that the gasket fits in, potential leakage. And, you know, there's other factors that could get in there. Certainly a hair across that seal could cause a leak. Any object or if it hasn't been lubricated, you know, and that's another factor. The seal and the elasticity of the sealing material may, as it ages, start to crack too. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. something that will develop over time. We know that, especially if it's in exposed to a lot of ultraviolet UV light. Mm-hmm. We know that causes brittleness in polymers and will eventually cause the gasket to possibly cause it to crack or cause it to start to be permeable in that right. area.
So this one, our example here is like half of the specification or less than right. half the specification. Right. So right. it's probably a lot easier argument to say, all right, well, here's the different paths. And you basically just outlined a fault tree analysis saying uh-huh. if the gasket fails, well, here's the various paths that could happen. And then when we applied mm-hmm. this stress, it failed.
Right.
Of the water pressure. Now, let's say it failed at 146 feet, and we stepped well beyond the specification of 100 feet.
With right.
The, you know, everything you just talked about is still relevant in my
right.
mind.
Right.
Is that
yes?
So why do we see this resistance to it failed above spec, so we don't need to worry about it? Because, like the one example is that it's either debris or a certain you know amount of, if it's a visible debris, the mm-hmm. user should wipe it off, right?
Right.
But a hair may not be all that visible, or a very small defect like that, or
right.
particulate, or the aging. What's the how long before we have the loss of elasticity so that we lose the seal? Those right. things are going to occur independent of whatever our spec is. And
right, and I don't.
That's part of the environment.
Right, and I don't think that many times when we're talking to design engineers, people designing a product, they really don't think in terms of cumulative fatigue or damage or aging in their development. You know, they're really, I think for the most part, is getting the product to pass all the requirements at time zero, at one, you know, mm-hmm. without any aging factor. But as we know, and also they think in terms of the manufacturing process having an exceptional capability, in that they have very little variation, and all the products are made just like that one or two samples that they've tested to meet spec or exceeded spec.
That's why we use a contract manufacturer. They do it perfect. It's every time.
They do it every time. And every one of their suppliers that puts, you know, gives them the O-rings for the seals, and every one of those does the exact same thing. All the tears below that, right?
That's what you pay for. That's why
exactly.
You pay for it.
Yeah. So we know this doesn't happen. We know that, you know, he may have used two O-ring manufacturing suppliers. So that would, you know, one way to add margin, and this is why failures above spec matter. The specs are very conservative. In general, most manufacturers put in very conservative specs. I think with a GoPro or a high ruggedized camera like that, that the if you can break it, it's relevant. It's just a matter of time when that kind of breakage will occur, mm-hmm. because of the expectation by the user that this is almost an unbreakable camera. And if you look at some of the online videos, you see that it goes through some incredible shocks.
Well, do you see the one that the lioness picked it up in her mouth and walked away with it? She had a lion mouth camp shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you test for the pressure, you know, measure the pressure of a lion's mouth and, you know, then reproduce that on the camera? Because that's, you know, you're talking about point pressures on the teeth. So, you know, these things, this is the variation that you can't really account for in such a widely used consumer product. So the best thing, and I think I'm sure this is what the company GoPro does, is make it as robust as they can within the parameters of cost. And if you can break it, it's again relevant, but you can't expect it to drop from, you know, 1,000 feet without a case and survive. Maybe you can. I don't know. You know, again, I don't think GoPro is going to tell us what they've tested, the actual capabilities of the product are versus what they specify. Mm-hmm. And I, again, doubt that many customers know what the specifications are for drop, shock. You know, I mean, how would you specify random vibration to a consumer?
That's right. Yeah.
What is that, grams?
That's
They have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, no, you could put a little spectrum plot, a vibration spectrum plot on the side. Don't exceed this. You know?
That would be real clear as mud, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but this is why. I mean, we were talking about it, another thing about a printer, you know, they design it for a desktop, but it could be very much, and we talked in our last podcast or back, that it's used in a car. It may be used in a plane that lands very hard. Mm-hmm, it may be used in all kinds of places that the original designer hadn't anticipated or didn't exist back then or wasn't a common usage of it. And so, you know, you've got to design sort of the future in mind as far as, you know, again, that's why my belief is the orientation should be build it as strong as you can with the materials and current technology, the fundamental limit of technology, and that's that's where your orientation should be, as opposed to trying to meet a spec or just get to the spec, mm-hmm. unless it's, you know, very extreme, like the downhole well electronic equipment or something like that, yeah. But in any case, that's why you want to build in as much margin as you can. So failures above specification, as you build in margin, then you can actually increase your specifications to the consumer. And the consumer might look at these, you know, two competing dynamic or robust cameras, camera systems, and decide on one that has a higher, you know, specification. You can make it more robust. You can use less packing material for shipping. You can, you know, there's a lot of advantages, not just for GoPro. I can't imagine that they use any packing materials.
Well, but let's go back to that O-ring and it fails at, say, well above the specification, whatever it actually is. The only time, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the only time that I would recommend that we don't do anything about it is when, under two conditions, is when it first it's well above the, it's at the technological limit of that material. So if we can
right.
simulate or model or understand that this seal will give way to the pressure exerted by this, you know, 400 feet of water or whatever the criteria is. And our only option is to go to a, you know, a hermetic or a metal on metal seal or some other technology rather than an O-ring, or maybe a 10 times more expensive type of polymer seal. And at that point, we're going to say, well, we've got margin over where we expect it to be used. And the only failure I've seen is at the limit of that polymer. So at that point, I would say, let's not worry about that until we find a big number of our customers diving to 500 feet, you know, or whatever.
helium oxygen mixture, and it would be some really complex thing. So,
well, they could, again, could start mounting them on the outside of the diving spheres, the submarines, stuff like that.
I was just thinking that a typical consumer, and if I thought about it, I could have done this too with my own GoPro, and that is in very deep water when we were out sailing. I could have actually used a cord and just dropped it in the water, not me going in the water,
turn it on
and see what I could film down there. And I might go down, you know, if I had 500 feet of string, I might do that, you know. And then pull it up and say, well –
it's not working.
What was the spec on this camera housing?
That's right. And so the other part that we get of, you know, besides the failure mechanisms that we're getting, or I would say the other time we would not recommend a fix on a failure mechanisms that we find this way, something that fails, is when we've got a bunch of other things at lower margins that we need to go fix first. So at the end of the day, if we only have $100 to go fix something, go fix the ones you can that will lead to failure sooner. And so go fix those first. So if you're testing it, doing Holt appropriately, you've got multiple stresses, you're looking for lots of different failures, and you got to prioritize those, which ones make the biggest difference. And so does that make sense? Those two criteria?
I would agree with you, Fred, that you have to go and you sit down and, you know, discuss with the other engineers and group, you know, you don't make this by yourself, but agree that there, you know, the priority of mechanisms that could cause failure. I mean, something, a shock, obviously, before the seal would go, it might be the case would break and you crack the actual polymer case before you break the seal. So you have to worry about drop heights and things like that, and that might be a priority. Again, one of the other factors I think is very important, and I again stress, and that is if you have – and I'm sure with GoPro, they probably test – 100 samples or more, they probably have that capability. I don't know. I have no idea. But in that test, and when they're doing a pressure test, and I would think they would take a pressure vessel and do a simulation of depth and maybe a dye penetrant or something like that so that they can see where the most likely leakage paths into the housing were, whether it be the buttons or whatever. But also the distribution of that limit of where it starts to leak. Now, if you have some that start leaking at, you know, 100 feet or 150 feet, and then some leak at 400 feet, only that point, I would start to say that's, you know, a very wide distribution in strength or capability, and that variation needs to be examined. Why you're getting such a wide capability in that in those mm-hmm. in those test units. So that would be another parameter or another piece of evidence that you need to tighten this up so all of them at least meet the 300 foot level, and maybe some exceed to 400. So
right. But that's part of what I think of as the failure analysis and understanding and characterizing it. And sometimes it is. It's the variability of the materials, or the manufacturing process, whatever.
All right. And if you had-
so I'm just thinking, Kirk, that the answer to the basic question is why do failures above the spec matter? Is because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find failures. And it's then once you've discovered them, then you can answer the question of, well, why did it occur? What's the rationale for that? Are we at the technological limit or not? And then it's a bit of triage and prioritization. Do we need to fix this one or not? And that's you can't have that latter discussion until you have found where it's failed. And
exactly.
So that's the whole point of Hull.
And that's exactly what Greg Hobbs was trying to make a point of, mm-hmm. is if you don't find anything, you have nothing to be able to evaluate.
That's right.
And if you find a limit, then you can evaluate it.
Yeah, besides, it's fun breaking stuff. It sounds like it was fun also just cruising around the islands and enjoying a week of luxury there, it sounds like. But, let's ask our listeners, one, if you've been cruising out in the British Virgin Islands and you're looking for a GoPro, get a hold of Kirk and get the coordinates, and maybe you'll post a reward for it or something.
Right. You can go on your own treasure hunt. I'll tell you exactly where we moored.
There you go. And then... And other than that is, well, what do you find successful at explaining why the failures above the specifications, why they matter? You know, we've made a couple of points of ways to describe that, but maybe you as a listener, I know that many of you are experienced with this and others are probably new, but go ahead and share your experience with the whole audience and let us know. You can find the show over on reliability.fm. And under the Speaking of Reliability series, you can find the variety of ways to get in touch with us and leave comments and your story of how this worked. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have other questions like this that you're still struggling with, let us know. We'd love to add that to our roster of topics to talk about.
Yes. Feedback is very important to us.
It is. So, Kirk, you got any more cruising coming up, or is this a once-in-a-lifetime deal?
I'm sure my brother will invite me out another time, but I'm going to have to take, time out to just recover from the wonderfulness of that trip and back to here to reality.
Well, there you go. So. Well, good luck with that, Kirk. We'll have to catch up with you on your next trip. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.